worst? Is it more heartbreaking this year than in the years past?
Well, don't ask my emotional butt. Let's get our voice of reason in the mix here. TSN hockey analyst Mike Johnson, forever our voice of reason on Mondays. MJ, a little bit tough, you can imagine, to reason with Leafs fans today. What do you think? Does this one feel more heartbreaking this year, losing to a very good Tampa Bay team? And I say very good, knowing all of the conversations going on about whether or not this Tampa team is the Tampa team they used to be. How does this compare to the embarrassment and the anger people felt losing to the Montreal Canadiens and the Columbus Blue Jackets?
Well, I mean, are you talking about fans or are you talking about the players? Because the players, it sucks always. Any way you lose, gotcha, against a good team, against a bad team, against a team you think you should beat, against a team that's better than you, when it's over, when you lose, it's awful. It feels awful. I think what is different about this year, as opposed to certainly last year, is that in the tight moment, they played well. Toronto played well in Game 6. Toronto played well in Game 7. They were every bit as deserving a victory as Tampa. And that wasn't the case last year. I think that's where last year the frustration or the anger or the even more bitter disappointment for the players as well would have been like, we didn't put our best foot forward in the biggest moment. We kind of got tight. We kind of played a little fearful. And that is not how you want to lose your last game. If you're going to go down playing hard, go down playing well, which they did this year. We can dissect 1,000 different ways why and how and what happened, but I think that would probably be the different emotion would be more frustration in how they lost last year as opposed to this year. And also, I mean, without revisiting last year too much, the opportunity of going through Canada, which was not nearly as good as trying to go through Tampa and Florida, which would have been much more difficult. So that's probably why there's maybe a little bit of a difference in the reaction to what happened this year and losing in the first round.
I guess the question also is just like, you look at the core, did they do their job? Did they do enough? You look around at some of the other Game 7s, and it was Connor McDavid, it was Goudreau, you know, Shesterkin played well. You know, it was those stars who kind of came up big for their clubs. Not to say that Matthews and Marner cost the team the loss. They certainly did not. But neither team, I believe, neither player put the team on their backs. I mean, did they do enough, in your opinion?
What happened at Edmonton last year in the playoffs? Get swept by Winnipeg?
Yep.
Right. So like, you know, you can talk about Connor McDavid, and we should. He's been incredible. But and his performance in Game 7 was stuff of the ages. But, you know, it's these things ebb and flow, and the LA Kings are not as good as Tampa. And Austin Matthews led the team in scoring. He had 9 points in 7 games. So, you know, I understand what you're saying, because what is frustrating, and I get it, is that Toronto put themselves in these moments for the last 5 years where they're looking for something special. And that's what, you know, and if they got it, they would go through. And they have these players, and they pay these players like they are capable of doing something special. And in those games, they haven't yet, right? Like, they haven't had a hat trick to win 3-2. They haven't, despite all that talent. So I get what you're saying, but I don't think that's probably a fair assessment. I think Marner and Matthews were good in this series. You know, they struggled a little bit in Tampa in the early matchups, but they played well. Nylander had a whole bunch of boards. Tavares chipped in and got better as the series went along. Riley was good. Jack Campbell, I guess the numbers almost mirrored Vasilevsky's. So, again, you want to point fingers, you want to lay blame, but I mean, everyone bears responsibility, but sometimes, like, the other team's really good too, and they're as good as we are in this year. It's just one of those things where they got one extra play that Toronto wasn't able to create.
It's true. There were a lot of opportunities, though. Toronto was able to cash in on the power play. I can think of at least one really opportune moment where they were able to cash in on the power play. But before the playoffs started, you talked about how special teams could be the difference for the Leafs in the power play. In the playoffs, rather. Do you think their power play might have cost them the series in the way that it struggled so much? And why do you think it struggled so much in the postseason?
Well, I mean, I guess you could point to it because this series was basically dead even. I mean, goal, shot, attempt, yeah, Everything was exactly the same. So anything where you could have improved slightly would have swung the series in your favor. And so, I mean, they struggled a little bit. Vasilevskiy is in net, good. They also have really good defensemen. And I think defensemen that are good at, you know, not giving up zone entries, blocking shots, winning physical battles around the net, and also understanding game plans and applying them. And when you prepare, the more you get to prepare, the more it favors defensive play situations, right? So the more you prepare, the penalty kill gets a better advantage than the power play. And I think you give credit to Tampa's coaching staff and their players for executing a good plan to try to negate a real strength of Toronto. And yeah, if they were just a little bit better and they could have found one at some point, it might have been the difference. Like, yeah, everything might have been one more save, one more shot, one more power play opportunity, which we don't need to get into. But any of those things would have made a difference. So yeah, you add it to the pile.
In conversation with Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, and here's the big question now going forward that everybody's talking about. MJ, does this team run it back, or do they kind of, not necessarily blow it up, but do they make changes? Do you see at least one or maybe two changes coming this offseason, major changes, that is, whether it's off-ice or on-ice personnel?
Well, there's always going to be changes, and there probably will be a half dozen. And you can look at some veteran guys whose contracts are expired. You can look at McKayev, who's probably played himself out of Toronto because he's been too good. But if you think it's going to be one of the big four forwards, Morgan Rielly, now Jack Campbell is probably the only conversation worth having. Not because Jack doesn't deserve to come back, but with the money allocated to Mrazek as a backup, how do you solve that? You can't have $9-10 million in goaltenders. That doesn't make sense the way Toronto's built. So either they got to get rid of Mrazek or they don't bring back Campbell. One of those two things have to happen. So that would be a pretty significant change. But what everyone's talking about, trading one of the forwards, firing Sheldon Keefe, firing Kyle Dubas, I understand that. It's an emotional reaction, but it has to make sense. So you want to trade one of the forwards to get a top flight defenseman? Well, who is that? What defenseman is worth that kind of price? I'm not sure there's one out there that you can get. Kyle Dubas and Sheldon Keefe just led this team to be the fourth best record in the league. Fourth. So the best record in the history of the franchise. So that's pretty good. I think they would take that again next year. I know people don't want to hear that. They want change. They demand something different. They don't want to hear, give them something out of opportunity. At some point, they'll get through. They'll break through. But that probably is what will happen. That's probably what should happen.
Right. I've been hearing a lot of conversations about, like, have the Masai Ujiri summer, fire Casey, bring in Kawhi. I just don't know who Kawhi is in the NHL.
Who's
like,
Kawhi?
This isn't the NBA.
Who's Kawhi?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So goalies are voodoo. Like, and you're not going to get a goaltender. So, like, what top, like, you have the MVP of the league on your team already. You have Kawhi. So what are we talking about? Like, you need maybe Victor Hedman. Well, Victor Hedman don't exist. There's like five of them in the world, and the teams that have them are giving them up.
Right.
If you have a really great offensive defenseman, you try to do defend by committee, and you've done a really good job of that. They don't have, a do-it-all defenseman. Morgan Rielly's awesome offensively. Defensively, not quite as good. That would be one thing to look for. Help me look for him. I'm sure they would be open to those conversations, but those guys are hard to find. So, it's easy to say that. And we also know, without getting too far down basketball road, one player doesn't change a hockey team like it does a basketball team.
Yes.
So talk to Connor McDavid. He's better than Kawhi is at basketball. He just got out of the first round the second time in his career. Austin Matthews, the MVP. The MVP at basketball always makes the playoffs, always gets through the first round, usually does, anyways, Joe Kismet. But so you know what I mean? Like, they don't have that same impact. So I don't know if that analogy holds in hockey.
Well, Johnny, what do you think would be the biggest priority for them to add to this team in the offseason? Like, what's the one element that you thought that they were missing this year in the playoffs? Like, where does the team need to get better to finally get over the hump?
I guess I would like to say they probably need some more defensive defensemen, reliable defensemen. They need Ryan McDonough. They need Eric Chernak.
Right.
Guys like that. And they have Sandin and Liljegren, young guys, but those aren't those kind of players. They're very good. Don't get me wrong. I want them on my team. They need what Jake Muzzin was 4 years ago. I just think Muzzin, in his age and some of his injuries, they kind of caught up to him. They need that kind of guy. That would be conceivable. Like, they need Victor Hedman, but that's not something that's realistic. So what would be realistic? A guy like Jake Muzzin was a few years ago. That would make their team much better. They're already really good. They're the fourth best team in the league. The regular season is more representative of quality of a team than the playoffs. I'll take an 82-game sample over seven, and they were really, really good. But, yeah, that's probably one area that they would look to. It'll be a challenge to find and to fit under the salary cap, but that would help.
If you're a player on this Leafs team, MJ, I know that they try to block out the noise as much as they can, but they're not blind to the narratives that exist. We've heard them say they're sick of it over and over. They hear all this conversation about potential changes. Do you think that, and I guess this would depend on what kind of person you are, make you want to dig your heels in and believe in this group even more and say, let's run this back? Or do you think even the players in the room at this point are thinking, maybe we do need a change here?
No, I mean, I think players generally want to believe in each other and themselves.
Right.
Even in the face of maybe mounting evidence that they shouldn't. They want to believe. They want to believe that they're going to be fine. They don't want to buy that narrative that, you know, somehow this group is flawed to the point where they can't win the playoff round. We're not even talking about the Stanley Cup. We're talking about a playoff round, one of only, you know, they got to get through four of them. They got to get through one first. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think right now everyone is so disappointed, so frustrated, angry, you know. Like, they're doing their very, very best. They want it more than we want it for them. They want it more than the fans want it. They are so much more bothered by it than anyone else. Like, they can't sleep these last few days with the disappointment of what just happened. And so with the volume of the conversation that's going on in Toronto right now, I think for the most part, guys want to get out of here. They want to get out of Toronto. Like, they don't want to hear it, be reminded of it, asked about it. They don't want to be in the grocery store and someone point and say, hey, isn't that Alexander Kerfoot? He couldn't, you know, like, they don't want to hear it.
Right.
But I think they believe that they're good enough, right? Like, I think they believe they're good enough, and I think they're just so frustrated that they can't shut everyone up by proving it in the playoffs.
I was in Hyde Park yesterday, and I hear so many people go to Hyde Park, and they're always like, oh, I saw John Tavares with his kids. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll see John Tavares. And I was like, no chance that guy's leaving this house for the next 2 weeks.
Yesterday.
He'll be in Oakville, and we will not be hearing from that guy for a while.
He's going straight to the cottage. Check me in August.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Exactly. Look, you've been part of those exit meetings and whatnot. Like, what do you think the messaging is to the players here today and tomorrow?
I would like to believe that it's probably something like, we know we're all frustrated together. We're all disappointed. We're all pissed off. But we believe. Like, I think that's what Kyle's message will be. Like, we believe in this group. We believe in you as a player, that we are better than we've shown in the playoffs, that we are capable of more than we have accomplished. And, they'll try to spin it like, you know, train hard and get ready for next year. And we got to dig. All of which will ring so incredibly hollow. Your eyes will gloss over. Like, I don't want to hear about training hard. I don't want to hear about next year and what we can do, because it's just so raw still. But I think the management team will express kind of confidence and belief. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to go make changes, but they've been so good. It's hard to justify or hard to find a change that makes sense other than change for change's sake, which rarely makes sense. And even Sheldon Keefe, I mean, I think he's one of the highest winning percentages of all time for a coach who's played coach like 200 games. So, like, I don't even know where you begin. I think they'll just be encouraged to try to suck it up and train hard and try again next year.
Well, we're seeing the carousel kind of move a little bit today, the coaching carousel of the NHL, that is. So I got to ask you, MJ, while we got you on the phone, what do you think of the noise being made by some of the people in Leafs Nation about potentially wanting Barry Trotz? And then also Pete DeBoer apparently is out in Vegas as of the last, like, 20 minutes since we've been on the air.
Oh,
so
Lord,
what do you think of those two names?
I haven't read that one yet.
I think you were on the phone while it came up on my Twitter.
Okay, there you go. I think Barry Trotz is an incredible coach. I don't know if his coaching style matches this system, right? Like, you're
gotcha.
He would mute the incredible talent of some of the top offensive players, and I don't know if it's a marriage there. You don't want to ever dumb down Matthews and Marner and Nylander, what they can do, Morgan Riley, and make their special skills less special. There's a lot of teams that Barry Trotz makes sense to go to. I could really use him. I don't know if Toronto is one of them. I think he would do great here, but I don't know if the fit's so perfect to Pete DeBoer. I'd stay with Sheldon Keefe.
Yeah, the only pushback I would have with the Barry Trotz, I mean, a lot of the similarities have been linked with, like, this team and the Washington team that couldn't get over the hump. Barry Trotz was the guy who got Washington to buy in and finally get over the hump and get it done and win a Stanley Cup. So, you know, when you look at those two teams, that's the thing that keeps coming back to me when I think about Barry Trotz.
Yeah, yes, 100%. But I don't know if Washington, like, I don't know if Washington was any more bought in under Barry Trotz than they were under the other coaches. They just happened to win. Like, I you know, everyone's like, oh, Ovi played more defensive, blocked more shots. I'm like, no, he didn't. He didn't block more shots the year they won the cup. He didn't hit more people. People just say he did because it's a nice story. He played the same. The team played very much the same. It's just they happened to win that year because, you know, things lined up and they did. Listen, I think Barry Trotz, you're right. It's a good point. Barry Trotz could win here. I just think that they already have a really good guy who has a lot of success here already. I would not be rushing to change Sheldon Keefe. I think he's a very good coach.
Yeah, I agree with you, and we'll see what they end up doing. I don't anticipate them making a switch there, but definitely, you know, conversation that's going to be had over the next couple of days. Really appreciate taking the time, Johnny, who's you're overseas right now. What time is it where you're at?